Now tonight we shall turn again to the book of Exodus, chapter 28, and we're going to read from a short passage down to verse 35. Exodus 28, verse 31. Our subject, of course, tonight is the robe of blue, otherwise called the robe of the ephod. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven round about the whole of it, woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And we do trust that God will bless his precious word. Now last night in the ministry in the garments of the high priest Aaron, Israel's first high priest, we considered the foundation garment, that is, the coat that he would put on first after washing feet and hands before entering into his high priestly ministry. So we thought of the foundation garment and the fact that it is made of pure linen brings before us the sinlessness of our Lord Jesus, his purity. And even Hebrews dwells upon that, doesn't it? So the coat would be a picture to us of the absolute holiness and purity and sinless perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sinlessness of his priesthood. Underneath the robe of blue, the second thing he would put on would be, in the physical order in which he robed himself every morning, would be the unseen girdle, a girdle underneath the robe of blue. To be distinguished, please, from the what is called a curious girdle of the ephod, that can be seen and beautiful, but underneath the robe of blue we have a girdle that could not be seen. I want to make the matter clear again. If you read the book of Numbers chapter 8 and verse number 6, I think it is, very carefully, you will observe in that one verse we have two girdles mentioned. Quite a number of people assume, without checking it, assume that there is one girdle. There's the girdle of the ephod, the curious girdle of the ephod, and then, as we've said, underneath the robe of blue, we have the girdle, the unseen girdle. If the white linen coat speaks to us of the purity of Christ, the sinlessness of his priesthood, well then, the unseen girdle would remind us and be a picture to us of the service of his priesthood. He's in heaven, there interceding for us. We come now to the robe of blue. This would be the third item of his garments he would put on in the physical order of things. Every morning he began his priestly work, the robe of blue. You know, today in Christendom, which is really a patchwork of Judaism, they have all kinds of robes and all kinds of hats. But we want to make it clear, God has finished with that. He wants his people to be simple in these days, to gather alone to the precious name of our Lord Jesus, to do without all these things. We find that Caiaphas rent his garments, and we suggested last night, Matthew chapter 26, he rent his garments. Caiaphas was the last Jewish high priest before Calvary, and I think his action was very significant, and it would speak to us, those rent garments of Israel's high priest at the time of the Lord, it would speak to us of the fact that God has finished with the system and ritual and routine and all investments and all that kind of thing. People call ministering gentlemen, reverend gentlemen, may I refer to them like that, men of the cloth. And they even have the collar the other way around. That to me is Christianity in reverse. Let us be simple. Let us see in these garments, beloved, the glories, the greater glories, of one greater than Aaron, Israel's first high priest. These garments, undoubtedly, in type and picture, foreshadow the excellencies, the beauties, the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. I visited Jerusalem some time ago, quite a few years ago, and I went to what is called the Temple Museum. And there the pious Orthodox Jew is preparing for the Messiah to come. And they have the garments already there. You can see them in a big glass secure case. The garments. Ready for the Messiah when he comes. And other things these pious Jews, traditional Jews, Orthodox Jews, have in anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. How sad it is to see these Jewish people not understanding that they crucified the Lord of glory, their very Messiah. Traditional blindness marks them. There they are, making all these garments and other things, getting ready, the silver trumpets, the red heifer, getting all these things ready for the coming of the Messiah. Beloved, it is very, very sad. I thought today, you know, touching the high priest Aaron, think with me this. Caiaphas was the last Jewish priest before Calvary. Not only is he the last Jewish priest, but we think too, or 2011, we have the last Jewish prophecy before Calvary. Caiaphas said, it is expedient that one should die for the nation, lest the nation perish. What Caiaphas did was significant, rending his garments. What Caiaphas said is significant. Very important. Beloved, what a lovely subject this is. The glories and excellencies of our Lord Jesus. Thinking of the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus, one thing I will say, and for your interest, we move into the book of Ezekiel, all about the millennial temple, the last 9 chapters of Ezekiel. And the remarkable thing is, we do not read of any high priest. Many things will be omitted in that future millennial sanctuary temple. No reference at all in Ezekiel to a high priest. The reason is this. Our Lord Jesus is the high priest. I take it that the Lord Jesus will be a high priest in the millennium. We must not think that the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ will end and finish when the church period ends. No, no. The Lord, I believe, in another category, will continue his high priestly ministry, very especially towards Israel. These are very, very interesting things. Well now, thinking of the and concentrating our remarks in ministry tonight on the blue robe, let me think first of all of the symbol of the blue. Why the blue? It's the colour of the heavens, or heaven. It reminds us of the heavenly ministry in which our Lord Jesus engages as our great high priest. Aaron, his work was earthly in character. In an earthly sanctuary for an earthly people. But our Lord Jesus represents us in heaven, intercedes for us, he cares for us. And I was thinking this. Maybe it's not until we get to glory in heaven that we will fully appreciate the debt we owe to the present ministry of the Lord Jesus as our high priest, as our good high priest. We little realize it. We either forget it, or we're not aware of it. But right now, what a thought it is, brethren. Right now, there is in heaven our great high priest. And he's there for us. And he cares for us. If he were on earth, Hebrews 8 verse 4 says, he would not be a priest. He may have been priestly in his lovely life in the Gospels narrated there. Oh yes. Priestly in character and feature. But officially, strictly speaking, our Lord Jesus Christ did not commence his high priestly ministry until he entered heaven. Saluted of God, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. So that the Lord Jesus engages in the heavenly ministry. We cannot see him. He is not on earth. Even the Hebrews might want to say, but where is this high priest? We don't know him. He's not here. We've never seen him. They might have reasoned like that. And this is why the writer goes on to tell us in Hebrews of the high priestly ministry, the present high priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus. Unlike the Jewish priests of old, no Jewish priest from Aaron downwards on the Day of Atonement went in as the representative of others to follow. On the Day of Atonement, he didn't go into the holiest of all to pioneer, to prepare the way for others. No, no. The fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is a forerunner high priest, Hebrews 6 verses 19 and 20. This is new. This is different. Israel never had a high priest like this. Never did they have a forerunner high priest. Wonderful to think that the Lord Jesus is preparing for us. Preparing a place for us. Because he is there in heaven, we will be. What a thought. We will follow him. No one would dare associate with Aaron and the Day of Atonement. He went in alone. Had to practice for months every move. He had to get it right. This is God's demand, God's command. Everything had to be done right and in detail, in obedience. Let us rejoice in the thrilling thought that our Lord Jesus is greater than Aaron in this way. He's a forerunner, high priest. He's preparing the way. So the symbol of the blue is significant. The Holy Spirit does not fasten on the kind of material the blue robe was made of. We do not know. We may guess. But it's not so much the material, the actual material the Spirit of God is interested in, rather the color. Blue was the predominant color in the tabernacle. It all points forward to and foreshadows a heavenly ministry. You know, I remember hearing of a place outside this workshop was a notice something like this. Workshop below, dwelling place above. I thought, that's good. Our workshop, so to speak, beloved, is down here for God in testimony and work and service. But it's great to know that we have a place in heaven. Great to know that our Lord Jesus is there. There is a dwelling place above. So we need to think, beloved, tonight on the significance of the blue. The symbol of the blue, the first primary thought is just this. Speaks to us of where the Lord Jesus is. Speaks to us in type and foreshadowing of the heavenly ministry of our Lord Jesus. Doesn't Hebrews remind us? He has passed through the heavens. He has been made higher than the heavens. And Hebrews 9 says, thirdly, He has entered into heaven itself. Thank God for the exaltation of our Lord Jesus. Try and appreciate and enjoy the thought, beloved, of the robe of the ephod, of the colour, the heavenly colour, reminding us of the heavenly ministry of our Lord Jesus. It is called, of course, the robe of the ephod, simply because the ephod rested upon it. And tomorrow we're going to talk about the ephod and what it means, as well as the breastplate. We have much material before us tomorrow, but we look to the Lord for His gracious help. So we have the symbol of the blue. Beloved, what about the strength of the binding? We read in Exodus chapter 28 that it was strengthened. What does the verse say? Come with me, please, to verse 32. And there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an abaddon, that it be not rent. God was very particular about this. Now this garment had to be made in such a way that it could not be possible for it to be rent. No one can strip the Lord Jesus of His glory. So, we not only have the symbol of the blue, we have the strength of the binding. I think this is interesting. Strength of the binding. God is very particular. These thoughts from the garments of Aaron are most instructive and very significant. The symbol of the blue. We're a heavenly people. Heaven born. Born again. Heaven bound. We are to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Thank God for the ministry of our Lord Jesus. Ongoing in His unfinished work as our priest at the right hand of God. He's our advocate? Yes. Every believer needs an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's there as our advocate. But He's there as our great high priest, the forerunner high priest. The symbol of the blue. Very interesting. The strength of the binding. And then thirdly, in the blue robe, the robe of the blue, we have something very interesting, and that is we have the shape of the border, the hem. At the bottom of the blue robe, a pomegranate and a bell. Pomegranate and a bell. There was harmony around the skirts of His garments. That tells me there is nothing inconsistent with the Lord Jesus. He is all that He claims to be. He will never let us down. He will never disappoint us. He's always there for our need. A pomegranate and a bell. The shape is intriguing. Interesting. What do you think the pomegranate speaks of? Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And we're going to see tonight that the bells will speak to us in picture of the thought of testimony. You know, it's not boom, boom, boom. No. It's not that. It's bloom, bloom, bloom. We can make noises. Sometimes we can be too noisy. We need to be calm in the presence of God. Calm and reverent in our service. Not drawing attention to ourselves. Not speaking loudly. Not boom, boom, but bloom, bloom. I should be more concerned about my character. What do I know about fruitfulness in my life? Is there any fruit for God in my life? I take it that these pomegranates acted as some kind of pad to lessen the noise, perhaps, of the knocking together of the bells. It might have had that practical purpose. A pomegranate and a bell. Are we consistent in our lives? Are we in harmony with God in our lives? Or is there a discordant note? Years ago, a young woman was greatly helped and challenged by the ministry of a certain doctor of theology. She greatly benefited from it, his preaching. And wanted to locate him. So personally, she could say thank you to him. She had a great difficulty to find him because he had a medical doctor, of the same name, the brother of this doctor of theology. She knew he had a brother of the same name, a doctor. When she finally tracked what she hoped would be the door and house where the doctor lived, she knocked on the door and the man opened it and she said, "Are you the doctor that preaches or are you the doctor that practices?" So that was good. It really spoke to that gentleman, that preacher, when she left after saying, giving her profuse thanks and gratitude, deep gratitude for his message and ministry that had changed her life. He said to himself, "Am I indeed the doctor that preaches? The doctor that preaches alone? Or am I the doctor that practices?" Between our profession and practice, there's often difference, disharmony, inconsistency. It's challenging to me. And we need to remember, beloved, what we profess, we must practice. We must live a life that is pleasing to God. Ask yourself the question very simply, a challenging thought indeed it is to me and to all of us tonight. Is my life fruitful? Am I consistent in my ways and character as the Lord looks upon me in my life? Am I bringing glory to Him? The robe of blue is very interesting. The symbol of the blue, the strength of the binding that it be not rent. And then, the shape of the border. A golden bell and a pomegranate. Pomegranate, I take it, to be the fruit of the land of Israel. It's interesting, the pomegranates are there. Beloved, what a thought. What about my life? What about my profession? What about my practice? How am I doing? Is there, I say again, an inconsistency in my life? Is my life harmonizing, as it were? We bring this thought out with the will of God, with the word of God. Am I seeking indeed to please Him? Beloved, these are very challenging thoughts. Symbol of the blue. Our Lord functions for us not on earth but in heaven. There He represents us and cares for us, constantly interceding for us. His interests He makes our interests. There's no one like our Lord Jesus Christ. He cares for us so much that even we'll see tomorrow night on the breastplate with the 12 stones with the names of the tribe of Israel. He's interested in every one of us. He cares for us individually. There was only one high priest in Israel. There have been many since. Aaronic priesthood was successional. It couldn't continue, says Hebrews 7, because of death. The high priest eventually died, and the garments had to be passed on to another high priest. Beloved, our Lord Jesus continues forever. He will never be substituted. He cannot die. His priesthood, I think Hebrews makes clear, is an eternal priesthood. We need to remember these things. Thank God for the heavenly blue that marked the Lord Jesus when He was here in the days of His flesh. Thank God we have in heaven a great high priest who loves us. You know, Aaron and his successors were supposed to love those they represented and served. I am sure that Aaron would have had some love for the people he represented, don't you? You know, when another priest succeeded another and donned the garments, I wonder what the thoughts of the Israelites were. Is this high priest going to be as good as the previous one? Will he change? Will he be different? Will he forget us? Will he let us down? Will he make a mistake? Can we have his confidence? Will he help us? No such questions need to be asked of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will never change. Thank God for that. His character remains unchanged and will abide forever. Yes, He must have loved the Israelites. I assume He did. He would be supposed by His representation as Israel's high priest to love every individual, even the children. But that would be quite practically impossible. But Galatians chapter 2 comes to mind. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It was impossible, a simple thought I know, but a very precious thought. Impossible for the high priest to love every individual. Or to show and demonstrate His love to every individual, every family. He represented over 2 million people, didn't he? Quite impossible for him to show his love to every Israelite, even the children. But I thought of my Savior in Galatians. And the lovely way that Paul the writer describes the Lord Jesus. He's the Son of God in all His dignity and glory. He loved us. Unlike Aaron, He loves us individually. All these thoughts are simple. I know they are, but they're very sweet, don't you think? The Lord Jesus loves us individually, cares for us individually, in a way that Israel's first high priest Aaron could not possibly be true of Him. So think again of the robe of bloom. Symbol is very important, the heavenly colour. Symbol of the blue. Our Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. There he intercedes for us. He represents us. He will never let us down. He continues his unfinished work, we might say, in heaven at the right hand of God. He's there for us. And he loves us. Strength of the binding. God saw to it and required the makers of these garments, especially the robe of blue, to make it in such a way that it would be impossible to tear. When I think of this, I can't help but help go to John 19. The coat of our Lord. They stripped him. We read the coat was without seam. Woven from the top throughout. Many seams in my life, perhaps seams in your life, but there are none in his. None. That coat in John 19 at the crucifixion, gambled over by those cruel, hard Roman soldiers, speaks of the perfection of the person of our Lord Jesus. Woven from the top throughout, he's divine. He's God. Our great high priest is not only merely a man, which fits him because he's been here in manhood to be our high priest, but he's God. Says Hebrews 4 verse 14, our high priest is called Jesus, his manhood. His sympathy. The Son of God. His strength. His sufficiency. How wonderful. In one great person, our high priest in Hebrews 4 verse 14, is possessed both of sympathy and sufficiency. He's perfect. He's all we need. Thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Symbol of the blue. Strength. Shape of the border. And even the way that the blue robe was put together. So that it does not rend or be spoiled in any way. Oh, beloved brethren. Isn't this a glimpse of our Lord Jesus Christ? How that his deity and divine glory can never be taken from him. In heaven, he always will be man. In heaven, he always will be God. Let us come to this. I want to speak now, beloved, not on the symbol of the blue so much, nor indeed of the shape of the body, the strengthening of the garment. But I want us to think of the sound of the bells. A bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate. Every step that the high priest took, you would hear the bells. You would know that the high priest is approaching, is walking. These garments adorned his person as he served in the court, at the altar, and washed hands and feet at the laver. I say this. The man of the altar is an altered man. Anyone who is in touch with God and with Christ and thinks about the sacrifice and death of Christ, it alters us. The man of the altar is an altered man. And there's something radically wrong if we are not altered and affected by the death of Christ and our response to it. with his beautiful garments, he officiated at the altar. But before that, daily he had to wash hands and feet. He confessed his uncleanness, his unworthiness. Beloved, God needs clean worshippers, clean lives. What about it? Am I clean in thought, word, and deed as I should be? What's the word in Isaiah 52? Be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. He had those garments on in the court. He had those garments for glory and beauty on in the sanctuary. Here's a strange thing. Believe it or not, there are some commentaries or books on the tabernacle that say something like this. The high priest Aaron went into the holiest of all on the Day of Atonement. Good, right. And the Israelites would be anxious and worried outside the sanctuary, waiting for Aaron to emerge. They would be very concerned, to say the least, on this critical, tremendous day in Israel's yearly calendar. Leviticus 16. The Day of Atonement, what a day it was. How solemn it was for the Israelites. If an Israelite, I'm giving the gist of these comments in the books on the tabernacle, would say, I wonder how my priest is getting on. Oh, I can hear the bells. He's safe. He's all right. I needn't be worried. There's one thing radically wrong with this. Before he went into the holiest of all on the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16 makes it clear, he took off these garments. He took them off. Is Aaron going to go into the sanctuary on the Day of Atonement, drawing attention to himself? In all his attractiveness, colors? No. He takes off those garments. We read that in early verses of Leviticus 16 on the Day of Atonement, the account there. Detailed, very detailed. And he dons a plain linen coat. Strange things can be said sometimes, which are really not correct. There is a Jewish tradition. What extremes they go to? What is that? Well, the Jews had a long, long special robe. Before Aaron went into the holiest of all on the Day of Atonement, they put tightly around his waist this robe. So if anything went wrong, he made a mistake, pull him out quick. Sounds very inventive, but it's not according to Scripture. No. The bells were not heard in the sanctuary, in the holiest of all, on the Day of Atonement. He went in alone, unaccompanied, under great pressure to make atonement for one more year. We'll touch on that on Sunday afternoon, God willing. You see, we're not in the business, I hope, when coming into God's presence in the assembly, to draw attention to ourselves. We are a holy people positionally. And God expects us to be holy. God wants us to be obedient and to reverence Him. Over in Canada once, I was in a large audience, and a lady came in on her tiptoes into the hall. I'm not finding fault with some children nearby, sniggered a little bit, almost suddenly laughed. But I admire that sister. She didn't come in. No, she had a real reverence for God's presence that was fast losing. Holiness, says the psalm, becometh thine house forever. Remember that. Let's be calm. Let's be placid. Let's be cautious. Let's be careful. Do not forget, God's assembly is a holy place. God expects his people to be holy and reverent in their conduct, and especially in their approach to God. So, if you have one or two books in the tabernacle, they may be very helpful, and most of them are. It's best to check everything according to the word of God. They'll do you no harm. Yes, these garments are very, very colourful. Very brilliant. Very wonderful. Very attractive. Yet at the same time, somewhat mysterious. But even already, I trust I've confirmed you in the typology of the Old Testament, even Aaron, high priest. And his person, and his name, and his work, and his garments, even in type, he speaks so eloquently and exquisitely of the blessed Christ to come, the greater high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. But we'll think for a moment of the sound of the bells. How am I going to apply that? There was no music in the tabernacle. There are 500 references to music in the Bible, 8 in the New Testament, the rest in the Old Testament. That's interesting. An interesting fact, if you want to look at it that way. It makes you think. What about the sound of the bells? I would look forward to this. It's exciting, spiritually speaking. The sound thereof would be heard when Aaron went into the sanctuary. And the sound would be heard when he came out. Isn't that what it says? Look again. Confirm it. Verse 35. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, when he cometh out, that he die not. His sound will be heard when he goeth in and when he cometh out. How can we apply that? Especially since I do believe and suggest anyway that the bells on the hem of the garment speak of testimony, and the pomegranates speak of fruitfulness. Let me take you to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, those disciples see the Lord Jesus ascend to heaven. What a moment that was. What an experience for those disciples. The ascension of Christ, Acts 1, he goes to heaven to commence his high priestly ministry. Lovely. How did they know he was there? There was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, the preaching on the day of Pentecost by Peter, confirms that the Lord Jesus is in heaven. But not only that, the bells were to be heard when he went into the sanctuary, and however long he was in the sanctuary, they would hear the bells. Hear his every movement, so to speak. When he goes in, then there was a sound. Do you know something? Symbol of a very nice thought. I thought this. The dispensation of the church, this present age of grace, began with a sound. The sound of a mighty rushing wind. What a miracle Pentecost was. Never be another Pentecost. But the sound of the bells, says the chapter in Exodus 28, will be heard not only when he goes in, but when he comes out. If the dispensation, the present dispensation, began with a sound, it will end with a sound. The Lord Jesus, the event of the rapture, will descend from heaven with a shout, voice of archangel, and the trump of God. The dispensation began with a sound, it ends with a sound. That word shout is a gathering shout, a mustering shout, a merciful shout, an encouraging shout. Perhaps very soon, beloved, we will hear the shout. And the wonderful event of the rapture may take place. I heard of a couple in assembly fellowship, the wife of the husband didn't believe in the rapture. It's one coming straight down from heaven, right down to from heaven to earth. Can you give me, she said to her husband one morning when they were I don't use the word arguing, there was exchange of thought. Can you show me from the Bible, from the scriptures, dear, she said, there's such a thing as a rapture? Of course, of course. 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord will come with a shout. That's about the noisiest chapter in the Bible. I don't like the word, but the rapture will be secret. At least unknown to people on earth. It will take place in a moment, and we will hear the sound of that voice. And I don't care if any believer is stone deaf. As long as they're on heaven's wavelength every year. That's one of the miracles that will take place at the rapture. The Lord is coming. I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door. And my heart is overwhelmed to be with him evermore. Well, I hope I've got something out of these garments. Especially the robe of blue. Speaking of the second man, the Lord from heaven, of the Lord's heavenly ministry, not an earthly ministry. He's in heaven. May these thoughts about our great high priest not only intrigue us and produce interest, deeper interest, but affect our lives, that we might even now appreciate with deep gratitude what the Lord is doing for us. God's right hand in heaven. Tomorrow we will look at the robe of the ephod and the breastplate. Shall we pray?